go ahead. Have it. You already put your lips on it, for heaven's sakes. Why did you drink my milkshake? I don't understand. Order your own. Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner. James Lilacs here at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern for my counter at the diner out on Old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be at this very moment right now. Feel free to stop by and enjoy the diner and its fine foods, which, surprisingly, you might think that everything's free. Everything is gratis, as they say. Well, they don't, unless they're Roman, and they're mostly dead. The classic Romans. Your modern Romans, I don't think, say gratis. The Italian word for that would be, I don't know, the French is gratuit, I believe. But the modern-day Roman would not speak French at all, unless he was a recent transplant, of course, and that's hard to understand why. Having been in both Paris and Rome, I can tell you that each has its charms, but I would prefer to live in Paris. I would prefer to vacation in Rome as a man about the world, but to live, I think Paris would provide more of the urban amenities and sensible government that we've come to expect nowadays. Anyway, nothing's free. You would think that it would be free, wouldn't you? After all, as you know from being with us last time, a rather substantial deposit of oil was discovered under the diner. And therein hangs a tale, doesn't it? Tales be hanging. Well, it's a good thing that they did, because the new owners, and I've got to stop calling them that, they are the owners, the shadowy, strange East Coast investment group that purchased the diner last year. We've never met them, they've never come by, they haven't made any changes to the menu, really. They seem to be rather hands-off, but every once in a while they will come along with a new idea and turn the place upside down. It was a casino for a while. It was a strip joint for a while. The diner was turned actually into a newspaper office as well. Remarkably, that did not turn around the fortunes of the diner. And I'm still sort of surprised that they feel compelled to turn around the fortunes of the diner in the first place. It's just a small little place out here by the highway. It does a fine business. The margin on soft drinks is exceptional. It still turns a profit. It's not exactly overrun with employees. I mean, there's the chef back there. There's the busboy. There's the waitress who doubles as a cashier. The janitor comes in the middle of the night. The guy who does the jukebox doesn't even work for the place. I don't get it. I don't understand. But they feel compelled to make money and to cut costs. So apparently, from what it sounds like, they overpaid. Initial reports that we're just getting now, and a lot of this stuff is, hush-hush. Apparently, they paid $2.7 million for the diner. And I guess it's worth, if you include all the stuff at the drawer at the end of the night and the contents of the penny jar, it's worth about $264,000. So, unless they had purchased us for our land, considering the possibilities of some giant strip mall going in here, which is doubtful, given that there's no houses, no sub-developments, nothing planned. Not like light rail is coming through here anytime. Or is it? Well, that's something to consider, isn't it? Maybe they bought this because the light rail was coming through. Maybe they bought this in like the old days of the frontier when they'd buy up all the land because the UP, the Union Pacific, was coming through. That's entirely possible. I'd never thought of that. I'm not sure how I feel about that. It would make it easier to get here, I suppose. Light rail makes everything more convenient. I mean, I could get in my car. I could drive to the park and ride lot. I could wait for the, No, that's right, it doesn't do that. I'd have to take a bus to the park and ride lot. That's right, so I'd have to... Well, my wife could drive me down to the bus stop, which is 8 blocks away, and then I could sit there and wait for a while and then take the bus down to the downtown and then catch the light rail out. I mean, it would be more convenient, I gather that, since I wouldn't be behind a car, which is apparently the new plus ultra of the horrors of modern life, but I still prefer to drive. There's still something about pulling into a parking lot and hearing the familiar scrunch of gravel beneath your wheels that tells you you've come here. Pity they blacktopped it 20 years ago. Anyway, so maybe that's it. Maybe that's why they bought it. Can't think of any other damned reason why they'd want to. Well, in attempting to make good on their investment, apparently they had some geologists out, and the geologists struck oil. They had a drill for it. I don't know why. Everything I know about oil exploration I learned from the Beverly Hillbillies. Quite easy how to find gold. Or oil, I'm sorry. Black gold. Texas tea. Just go out there and shoot at it. And if you're shooting at some food, which as a child living up in prosperous North Dakota where the meals were prepared by mother and set on the table with metronomic precision every night, the idea of shooting at some food would just struck us sort of strange, like there were TV dinners running around the backwoods. And old Uncle Jed went out there with a trusty blunderbuss and brought one down. He was shooting at some food with what appeared to be a shotgun, a very crude shotgun. And what should he see? But, you know, up through the ground came some bubble and crude. And I was amazed at the time, even though my father was in the petroleum industry and preferably, you know, would have set me straight if I was wrong in the matter, but I was amazed that that's how easily oil could be gotten, by shooting at the ground. I mean, if you can shoot at the ground and oil starts bubbling up, which indicates that it's under some amount of pressure, then how could anybody possibly walk over that? I mean, you would walk over that and you would plunge into it, and the next thing you know, you would be drowning in a bottomless pit of liquefied dinosaur. And I don't believe they're dinosaurs, actually. It may be some organic compound that's continuously regenerated by the processes of the earth. That is my theory. This is my theory. It is mine. And I'm sticking to it. But that's all you had to do. And it's really quite astonishing that nobody had found it earlier, either having fallen through it or shooting at some food. I would gather that the word had gotten out that there might be riches under the ground and guys would just walk around with a pole. Because Uncle Jed didn't have a hell of a lot to do, frankly. He wasn't employed. He was just a basic hillbilly. Why he didn't spend his days walking around the woods, pole poking the ground, I don't know. Anything to get away from that nattering, screeching, desiccated little bird he was married to. Granny. Is he married to Granny? No, he wasn't married to Granny. What am I? Good Lord. What a horrible image that is. Ugh. Ugh. Oh, my God. Uncle Jed, the long, lanky fellow, bent over that withered thing. Hey, sorry. Sorry. Never mind. Anyway, they found oil. They found oil. Which means what, do you think? Well, it means that the area around the diner is going to be carved out, secede from the Union, form its own emirate, perhaps. That we will begin to we'll join OPEC, affect international energy policy, sell it all off to China, India, with their growing rapacious needs. No. No, as a matter of fact. And if you want the truth, I've been looking at the menu and everything's up a nickel. We'll be used to the price of raised ticker stopper burgers and Jubal sodas and the rest of it in a while, but for now, the price hikes across the board here seem a little irritating. But you always get used to them, don't you? Everybody does. I looked at the price of cigarettes at the store the other day when I was filling up my vehicle. $4.60 a pack. 20 nails for $4.60 a pack. When I was pounding them back many years ago, they were 65 cents for a pack. 65 cents. And the idea that people would pay $5 for a pack of smokes would have struck me as completely reasonable, because you'll pay anything. But still, it would have seemed high. And likewise, there I am pumping up the gasoline, and I'm looking at the price, $3.54. And it seems high. Yes. Oh, Lord, does it seem high. But it's over $3, which is what we've come to expect, and it's still under $4. So we've got that going for us. It's odd how you become accustomed to these things. When gasoline was $2.25, $2.45 a little while ago, people were spazzing out and having panic attacks. When it crossed over to $3, people had full-body shimmering meltdowns over this. And then, of course, it's $3.50, and we think, oh, my God. Hey, look over there. It's $3.45. That's a good deal. You become used to anything, what I'm saying. So I'm sure that I'll get used to the new prices at the diner, but you'd think, wouldn't you? You'd think, that with all of these oil riches flowing into the diner, that they could afford to lower the prices. For that matter, for God's sakes, drop them down to nothing. Their investment has paid off more than enough, you'd think, so why wouldn't they just make everything free? Now, granted, you'd get a different crowd in here. You'd get those people who are looking for the free lunch. As we all know, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Except when it is, I guess, when it's being totally and utterly subsidized by a disinterested investor corporation. But leave that aside for a moment. You'd have people coming in, sitting there all day. You'd have your general, you know, bummage. Your hobo American community would come by for breakfast in the morning and sit in the stool all day and have lunch and then have supper and never leave. What could you do? No. There's something about paying for a burger that is a part of life. There's a give and a take. There's a transaction. There's an understanding. It's an ancient ritual, as old as hamburger itself. So I'm glad, but still, you'd think they could drop the prices a little. Well, I know why they're not. We all know why they're not. And in a sense, it's good news. Now, they found oil, right? Lots of it. But it takes a while to get this stuff out of the ground. What happens in the meantime? Well, you got your boomtown grows up. So across the street, there would be a bunch of wooden storefronts and blacksmiths and whorehouses and all the rest of it. And you'd have all kinds of roughnecks. And, roughnecks hanging around here. Touching things with their oily hands. Filthy creatures. No, I'm kidding, of course. My father was an oil man. And well, he was a gasoline station owner, and he sold a lot of lubricants, and the man had was permeated by a variety of petroleum substances, and they gave off the smell of Sky Chief and Fire Chief. That was his cologne. Drove him nose deaf too. Man lost his sense of smell. Could not smell a thing. 30 years of bending over gasoline fumes will do that to you. Also, 82 sharp and attack and drives a Harley, so the idea of inhaling leaded gasoline for a quarter century is somehow injurious to one's health. Seems to be disproven by his general robustness. But anyway, you would have a different crowd in here, and I think they'd crowd out the regulars. And it would just be busy, and there would, you know, the highway would be clogged. There'd be drilling machinery going constantly. There would be the sound, the kang, 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 kang in the background as the wells are drilled, as the rock is eaten away, as the hillbillies, you know, from across Lake Lalaque show up and start shooting at the ground, thinking they might get into some action. No, it would have changed things. It really would have. So I'm kind of happy about that. But there's more. There's more. There's much more to the story than that. Oh, boy, is it depressing. I need a song to cheer me up here. Let's before I finish the rest of the story, let's see what's been put here for our amusement by the fellow who stalks the jukebox. Let's go straight to A1. Poppins wants to get it on. I'm thinking dear of you, and all I mean to do when we're together, you and I. We'll gather lilacs in the spring. Hey, no, you won't. Dragging me? Until our hearts have learned to sing. What am I in a basket or something? What? When you come home once more. I ain't your gimp, Mary Poppins. Spring, why do you have a fire? You'll hold me close and never let me go. While I'm wearing a ball gag and I have a collar and I'm waiting on you guys hand and foot. Okay, well, maybe I misinterpreted that. I guess that whole gathering lilacs in the spring thing wasn't personally directed at me. Although, you know, at this time of the year, I get a feeling as to how a schizophrenic feels. You know, schizophrenics. Your eyes sometimes think that the world is communicating to them via... headlines in the newspaper or, you know, interviews on television. They think that they're being talked about and selectively persecuted. I know that feeling because in the spring people walk out and flare their nostrils and say, "Smells like lilacs. Can you smell the lilacs?" Boy, I love to smell the lilacs. You get a little self-conscious. The old surreptitious pit sniff. And you realize that your hygiene is up to snuff, and you go on with your life without fear or worry. That was "We'll Gather Lilacs in the Spring" with Julie Andrews. Didn't really put me in a better mood, though. Well, it's not that I'm in a bad mood, mind you. It's just I'm just disappointed. That's all. Not just for me and not just for the diner, but for everybody. And I do mean everybody. You see, it's... Well, no, hold on a second. I don't know. I'll tell you in a bit here. I just want to hear some more music. Let's take a look at what we got over here on D2. What's this? Oh, bouncy crapola 60s country. Melody, please. What? It's the Funtime Zither Hour. The third man theme. Everybody go get yourself a piece of hairy lime pie. Yeah. Needs vocals. Strings will do. Owen Bradley phoning this one in. Yes, it's the charm and mystery of old Vienna. Decadent, glorious, glamorous, decayed. A backdrop against which international intrigue plays on a daily and nightly basis. Vienna, as seen in The Third Man. Oh, boy. Okay, that's enough of that. Honestly, I expected the breathy white people chorus to come in on that one.
It's official! Springtime is here!
Oh, right, guys. You got a new song coming up, don't you? The jukebox guy was supposed to put it in come spring. It had some spring feel to it, or it was just this was the good season for it, or something like that. Okay, well, should we... Let's play it.
Excellent!
Okay, let's look for it here. Oh, it's B1. Another gruesome instrumental. Death to instrumentals. What's this one called?
Blame it on the bossa nova. Blame it on the bossa nova.
Lurch on keyboards. Blame what on the bossa nova, though, exactly? High commodity prices? Overpopulation? Deforestation? Serbian aggression? The Hitler-Stalin pact? I mean, don't try and blame the bossa nova for the Hitler-Stalin pact, because I don't believe that dance was even discovered yet when Hitler and Stalin got together and the Ribbentrop thing was done. I mean, I'm sure that bossa nova existed, but hadn't been discovered. As we know, it took a team of Latin scientists, Brazilians working in labs night and day for, I think, something like 2 years to discover the bossa nova. And then, after it was released into the wild, and subsequently so many things happened, there was a huge public outcry that ascribed to the bossa nova a variety. Well, yeah, and that's what happened. People blamed it on the bossa nova. And I think the rise of Ayatollah Khomeini and the subsequent fall of the Shah was eventually traced to the Bossa Nova. Yeah, well, the dance of love. All right, nice work, guys. Nice work. Didn't know you were working with Lawrence Welk, but that's great. That's great. Well, great. And now, I guess, since this is the time in the show where we usually introduce you to some sponsors, here they are.
Well, have you been around lately and stopped to see how the in folks are living electrically? It's the way of today, tomorrow too, the only way that's right for you. The easier way to get more things done, from household chores to TV fun. So let's get with it and join the bunch who acted on that surefire hunch. Electric living has passed the test, for all that's modern and all that's best. Yes, get around, friends, you're sure to see how the in folks live in electric.
Here's the American breed for Partridge Wieners.
Partridge, it's just behind my smile. That's why I eat partridge. Hot dogs, they're the top dogs I love. And you love them too. Partridge Wieners are so much fun. They're a smile for everyone. 'Cause Partridge Wieners are...
I mentioned before that I hated instrumentals, that they should all go away. That's not entirely true. When I was a younger man, I used to love the words instru. When I saw them on a record label, instru meant it was an instrumental. That meant something deep and progressive and gnarly and really, really serious, man. Sometimes it meant a long drum solo, but no, you could always tell a good instrumental just by looking at the grooves. I mean, for example, you'd see a Genesis record, and if the instrumental had about 3/4 inch of light-colored grooves, you knew you were in for something beautiful. Well, you did. At least that was what I thought at the time. But there was a great, great vogue in the 60s for instrumental versions of everything. Easy listening music, such as... Sorry, guys, but that's what it was. Lawrence Welk, any number of instrumentalists would cover every single stupid tune in an instrumental version, which just really reminded you of the original. And if the original was an instrumental, and a better one at that, you couldn't really quite see the point at all. Let's see what else we have here. I think we have time for one more song here. Let's go down to the... flip the pages over here, and we've got... let's just try M1. For Joseph's sake. Is this Herb Alpert on meth? No, 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 no. The third man theme without a zither is like the fish without a bicycle in an underwater Piscine Tour de France or something. You need a zither. Damn it. All right, that didn't work. Let's try something else here. Let's go to, let's go way down here. Drill deep to P2. Not warped. Hawaiian guitar. Well, the less said about Hawaiian guitar cover versions of the Beatles, the better. Let's just let it play. I was going to tell you why the discovery of oil under the diner was not the good news that we all thought it was going to be. Well, it's like this. They found a lot of oil. Now, you may have heard of the Bakken field in North Dakota. 20 billion barrels or something like that. And there's a huge oil strike off Brazil. I guess something like 30, 40 billion barrels were found. Well, they got all the top geologists in the area. They did all the soundings, and they did infrared maps from satellites and the rest of it. And what they found were 474 trillion barrels of oil. Which would, of course, completely wipe out the economic power of OPEC, of Venezuela, of Qatar, of Saudi Arabia, of Iraq, of Iran, Brazil, everybody, North Sea. Everybody who had oil would suddenly find their oil to be absolutely useless because all of a sudden, here, under the diner, they found 474 trillion barrels. And you'd think that would be good news, wouldn't you? But I guess shadowy forces somehow got to them and managed to convince them to cap the field. And when you think about it, if you've got 474 billion barrels down there, they're not going to be worth that much because it's just not worth it to pump it out, frankly. You know, we complain about high oil prices, but the people who bring the stuff out of the ground like to be paid something. So, there you go. And, you know, being a corporation, they'll probably have their hired assassins shoot everybody involved in the project. Or who knew about it. Or no. Just leave us alone and let us end up as the crazy people who call Art Bell at 2 o'clock in the morning and tell him about the carburetor that runs on ambergris and the hamster, you know, glands and... And also, oh, incidentally, there's 474 trillion barrels of oil down here in Minnesota. No, nobody would believe me. Nobody will. So there you go. On the bright side, I hope that they paid him off enough money to keep the diner just exactly as it is. And I think that it actually will be. They needn't go through all of those gyrations of trying to make it something other than what it is. They're just going to let it be a diner. And if it doesn't make $1 million in a year... They don't get a return on their investment like they thought. Well, you know, there's something to be said for providing a noble public service, for having a place that's open 24 hours a day along the lonely highway, the neon lights, the signs blinking to people, beckoning them to come in, beckoning them to come in and enjoy a ticker stopper hamburger and a nice frosty cold glass of Jubal and a good cup of diner coffee. It's the only coffee that's a depilatory, as a matter of fact. It'll take the hair right off your chest. Some coffee puts hair on your chest. This will take it right off. Anyway, so there you go. Everything's back to normal. I think it's going to stay that way. Oh, who am I kidding? Well, we'll see what happens in a fortnight, won't we? Thanks for dropping by, folks. I'm James Lilacs. This has been The Diner for Friday, May 9th, 2008. We'll see you down the road.